Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. It's a real privilege to be before you this morning again. Somebody asked me, I don't remember who it was, are you preaching on Sunday? And I think it was Thursday, and I said, I don't know. I had been wanting to ask somebody else to do it all week, and every time I tried to, it was like, no, that doesn't seem right. No, that doesn't seem right. So here I am again. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to speak to a hungry people.
Come on, amen.
Amen. Amen. You are an amazing people. This is an amazing church, but we are on a journey. Hallelujah. We are a bunch of ordinary people made extraordinary by an extraordinary God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You are very extraordinary. That's not quite the same as saying you're all weird, but it's very similar. I tell you what, compared to the world, we are weird. There is a counterculture here. There is a move happening here that is saying, I don't want to live like the rest of the world. And sometimes there are clashes because decisions are made and we talk to people that we disagree with, and it's like, but no, I want to live as Jesus has called me to live. I will go higher rather than lower. You know, and this is that funny time of year of remembrance where people can be divided on something that's supposed to unite. But one thing we can unite over the red poppy rather than a white poppy or rather than no poppy is we can remember that red is for the blood of Christ and that black is for the death that he took on that cross. And then that is peace and reconciliation. When you came in today, you might have been thrown that the countdown was not playing properly, you know, wrong music and everything. And of course, it was because we were going to have this 2 minute silence. And just towards the end of it, I showed a video that's from the British Royal Legion, who are the people behind the idea of wearing a poppy. One of the things, so I was reading up the video on their website, and one of the things they were saying was they wanted the theme to be something of also looking forward as well as looking backwards. And I thought that's a really good thing. So you saw the poppies sort of appearing in the cafes and by the pool, because they were saying their hope, really, their hope is that the poppy would also be a symbol of hope for the future. I just thought that's a great picture. But then when you put that together with the message of Jesus Christ, that is true hope. There is true hope in that blood of Jesus. And the poppy, you know, it's funny, isn't it? I've been wearing a poppy all week, cardboard one. And this morning I put my jacket on and there was just a pin there. How often does that happen? He said, eh? What? And I was looking all over the house for it, because I'm sure it was there when I took the jacket off, but I could not find it. This gate still hurts. But that cardboard poppy, it's great for what it does, isn't it? But what a poor imitation of the real thing. When you think about it, I don't know how often you've actually had the opportunity to look at a poppy in a field. Well, usually there's lots and lots and lots of poppies. They are amazing flowers. There's all different types, actually. But if you look at poppies, they're incredible. They're very, very delicate. They're almost like really thin paper. And the red, particularly if the sun is shining, it sort of turns them, I don't know, like a glowing, beautiful red. And I love it when you see this, the fields of red flowers. So the cardboard copy is poor, but it's there to remind us. But the real thing, at first, looks really, really flimsy. And I sometimes think that this is also a good picture of peace within the church. Even just the missing and having just the pin left there. I think sometimes when I look down in my life at how I'm walking with God, sometimes I've forgotten peace and there's just a pin left. A reminder about, actually, I need to step up to this greater call that is on my life. Not just a pin. I need to put the poppy back in place. But even then, sometimes peace, it's tainted inevitably, perhaps, by the way everything is around us. Because the peace that Christ gives us is not of this world. And that's really just what I want to look at this morning, because God's called us to be shamelessly audacious in prayer. But the more we go on, the more I realize he wants us to be shamelessly audacious in everything he's given us. A kind of a wholehearted, yeah, okay, let's do that. It's interesting that he began with prayer. It's interesting that he began with the masterpiece stuff, because he started with, you are accepted. You are a people of grace and mercy. I love you, whatever. And then with the prayer, he said, ask, seek, knock, and I will give it. Pray until, from Isaiah 62. Copying Isaiah. He gave us that. But then it's almost like he's taken a step backwards to say, and then there's these things as well. But then I realized that was the wrong understanding. This was a step forwards. Because when God calls me into a higher level of holy, righteous living, he's actually calling me onwards, not backing away from the grace and mercy, but from the security of the grace and mercy. Because one thing's for sure, we won't match up to all of it. We will fail. But we come back to the mercy and we come back to the grace. Amen. And we continue onwards.
Hallelujah.
In fact, do you know what? We don't even go back to it, because it goes with us. There's not a restart when we totally mess up. In fact, those can be the times when we learn the most. Some of the worst things that happen to us are the times when we grow the most in God, because we start to trust him. It can be illness. It can be the loss of a job. It could be something that we do that's really wrong in terms of sin. And if grace and mercy is there, they actually cause us to grow in God and become stronger, more rounded people. It's amazing how God really does take the awful things and turns them for good in our lives. It's not that he wants us to go through those things to teach us a lesson, but he will always take the evil of the world and flip it so that it then works for good. If there was one thing that was evil, it was to kill the Son of God, an innocent man, on a cross. We don't normally think of that as evil. We normally think of that as good. That's why we call it Good Friday. But if you just go a little bit remote for a second and think, actually, yes, to kill an innocent person on a cross for no reason whatsoever is evil. It was a thoroughly evil act. The most innocent person ever tortured to death. And yet, look what God has done with what was meant by the enemy for complete evil. Rejoicing, Satan must have been, as Jesus was suffering, little knowing that it was the undoing of everything for him. I wonder when he first realized. The other thing that challenged me as I was praying and thinking about today, thinking about the lives of people that have given their lives for me, that I don't know, people in different conflicts, and certainly, let's think about the Second World War, where many just ordinary men and women ended dead on a battlefield or in a hospital tent somewhere, giving their life so that we could live the way we live today. And if they hadn't done it because they didn't want to, we wouldn't have the life that we have today. We might not even exist, because who knows what would have happened to our parents or our grandparents. So we inevitably have to be thankful. But the real challenge, I think, is those people not only didn't know me, they might even completely and utterly disagree with me. You see, because there is a move, isn't there, to wear a white poppy. And I'm not going to go hard on heavy on them at all, because I don't want to do that. But the interesting thing is they are disagreeing with this. So in principle, they're disagreeing with what has happened, but those people still died for them. And I'm sure in their ordinary lives they had people that they didn't agree with. Perhaps they'd fallen out with family, friends, people on the street. Communities were tighter then, so fallings out were more often. That's the thing about community. The closer you are, the more there's going to be fallings out. If you don't know one another very well, if you stay away from one another, you don't have any problems. You can just sit and watch telly and watch the arguments on EastEnders instead of having them for real. which almost sounds like an attraction when I put it like that. But if you want to be a real person, you have to be in a real community. And real communities fall out, have arguments, have disagreements. It's in the Gospels. It's in the Bible. It tells people how to live together when they fall out with one another. We have been made perfect, but we are being made perfect. Sometimes we're made perfect through the very act of disagreeing with someone. Ron and I have had some great disagreements. We've both grown through them. I don't think we've got anything at the moment. It's a miracle! But those men that disagreed with some people, maybe even completely and utterly, they still died for them because they still had the life. Even people who have gone on to misuse their lives that they died for, some have been tragically taken aside into drugs and alcohol, some have become rapists, some have become paedophiles, yet they still died for them as well. That's a little bit of an awkward, uncomfortable thought, and yet they did. But hold that thought, because it's important that we come back to it. Because if you truly, true peace only comes through cost and sacrifice. Because that was the way Jesus showed us. Now, we're coming up to Christmas. I mentioned it earlier. This is twice in November already. This is one of those verses that you're going to hear a lot in December, I guess. Maybe sing a lot in various carols, various versions. Glory to God in the highest and on the earth, peace, goodwill towards men. From Luke 2:14. Do you remember who says that? Sorry? The angels, yes. It wasn't a trick question. Yeah, the angels come and they sing it. Glory to God, that's actually the King James version there, in the highest and on the earth, peace, goodwill, favour that can be towards men. And because it's the King James, it says men, but of course it means all of humanity. Peace, what is that peace there? What is this peace that comes at Christmas? Well, the Greek word, anyone know? No, good go. That is, I think what you're saying is the Hebrew word. Yeah, it's a lady's name. Nah, that's good. Good trying. That's grace or favour. It's Irene or Irene, to actually say the Greek. Not many ladies called Irene. Do you know any Irenes? It's not a very common name now. Beautiful name, really. It means peace. Yeah. So Irene is the word, or Irene is the Greek. And if you look at the actual, I looked it up in the dictionary, what it actually means, and it means the opposite of war and dissension. It's not as rich as the Hebrew shalom word. It's got a lot of that in there. I mean, it still also has the idea of every good thing, every blessing, it still has the idea of tranquility and peace and prosperity and all good to you. Another English translation of Irene is best wishes. When you see that on a Christmas card, best wishes, or you sign something, best wishes, sounds incredibly sort of pagan, doesn't it? It isn't really. You're just another way of translating Irene. You could just write Irene, but that might confuse them who it's from. But one of the key things is this opposite of war and dissension, to achieve reconciliation. In that word is this meaning of being reconciled, of coming in agreement. Now, I used to be a primary school teacher, and that's an interesting community to live amongst, because children fall out with one another all the time. And they can be quite horrible to one another. And you know the classic teacher's thing is to get the two children to say sorry to one another. Yes? You'd be surprised, though, how effective that is. You'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't if you know children, how often the children do not want to say that. Indicating a reality of their humanity at that age, whatever age it is. They don't want to say sorry. Why should I say sorry? They don't want reconciliation. They want revenge or the other person prove wrong. They're not interested in moving forward. They want them corrected. But it's surprising how often two children saying sorry to one another is the beginning of those two children. They can be best friends 10 minutes later. The wonderful thing about children, working with children, is you, when you upset them, they forgive you so quickly. You can be foul. I've had bad days as a teacher, and there is not really any justification for it at all. You know, when you're a bit grumpy, and you think, I was really not as best as I could have been to those kids today. The next day, they charge in, and they still want to hug you, and you're still the lovely Mr. Abel, and they still think you're the best thing ever, because they're kids. They've forgiven you for tomorrow. They've forgotten it. They remember your sin no more. Of course, we're talking about good situations. We know there are bad situations, but I'm not thinking of them right at the moment. The problem with saying sorry, you can say it and not mean it, but you know what? It's quite hard. Just take this, and we don't have good examples in the world. Take Boris Johnson right now. He does not want to say sorry. Now, we don't know the full story of what's going on. Let's be fair. We don't know whether this lady was spying or whether she was visiting family. We don't know. Nobody knows. But I do know that Boris Johnson has not said sorry for what seems like a gaffe. And yet the British Embassy is saying sorry and trying to smooth things over so that this lady doesn't do another 5 years in prison. I mean, if you make a gaffe, if you make a mistake and somebody has to spend another 5 years in a disgusting Iranian prison, you should be doing a bit more than saying sorry. But we don't have very good examples. We have an American president. He's not renowned for saying sorry. There was an interview where somebody, just as an aside, they're going on to another question. She says, President Trump, you know, as someone who's not known for their humility, and he interrupts her and says, actually, I think you'll find that I am. And then goes on for quite some time about how humble he is. It's kind of, oh, you missed the point there, really. But why, you know, that's the examples of the world that's being held out, but we're not of the world. We're a people of reconciliation. We're a people of peace, but that peace is not la-la land. Peace cost Jesus his life. Peace cost Jesus the cross. Peace is not la-la land where everybody just skips around through the tulips or daffodils, whatever you prefer. But it's not that. But yet we are a people of peace. If we're not a people of peace, we're not the people of Jesus. We're a facsimile. We're a cardboard copy that looks similar, but it's not like the real thing. The real thing, however, can look very fragile. But it's the real thing that grows in battlefields. It's the real thing that seeds itself everywhere. Because ultimately, poppies are weeds. But that's, you know, starts to spoil the analogy a little bit. Let's look at, and I haven't put the whole verse up, but let's just look at Romans 5. That's the core of where I want to get to, because this is like those men and women that gave their lives in battles for people that they wouldn't even agree with or like what they did. They still did it for them because they were doing it for all. The great example of that is Jesus. While we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, but also through Jesus Christ. We have now received reconciliation. See, sometimes people think that reconciliation is just us to God. Yes, it is that. Primarily, that's where it starts. But the only way that that is seen is then when we have a ministry, as Paul calls it, St. Paul, we have a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry to reconcile people to God and to one another. Because it's not just about a kingdom in heaven. It's about your kingdom come here on the earth as it is in heaven. The things of heaven manifesting here on earth. And we love to get excited with healings and miracles, don't we? Yeah, well, a couple of you think that's a reasonably good idea. But, but also, it's the things of peace.
That's right.
Come on. Amen.
We are not someone that goes around stirring up. That's why some of you have experienced Paul coming to you and saying, I don't think that's wise, you putting that on Facebook. Because we are a people of reconciliation, not people that try and stir up trouble. Usually when I say that to people, their initial reaction is one of offence or upset. I don't have that authority. But I do, because I'm trying to disciple you and mentor you to us being the people of God. And Facebook, social media, is today's marketplace. When you put a post on Facebook, it's like standing in the street and shouting it out with a megaphone. There is nothing private there. Use it. I think it's a wonderful tool. I love it. We use it. There's people coming to things that happen here because of it. It's great for connecting with people. But it is fully and utterly public, as is just about everything else. Unless you're in a secret WhatsApp group that the government wants to shut down. But that's another story. Let's go back to Romans 5. Jesus, this is the last verse of chapter 4, actually. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. It's what we looked at last week with what is the gospel. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We're given peace, we're given faith to live in. Jump to verse 6 if you're following me. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, although today we are remembering people who are those rare people. There may be 888,000, is it, of them, but they are rare people. People who are willing to die for others, they are rare people. We should never dishonor anyone's memory. They are rare people. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, this is a beautiful verse, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Never think you cannot go before God. When you were at your lowest, or when the person that you think is even more terrible than you was at their lowest in sin and deprivation or whatever, that's when Christ died for them. So however, can we not be acceptable or presentable for God in any other situation? While we were still sinners, he died for us. Therefore, will he not give us everything else as now? It would be to deny, to not provide, to not give, to not seek peace, to not love for Jesus would be to deny the very thing he did on the cross. While we were still his enemies, we were reconciled to him. But we haven't got there yet. Let's read on. But God demonstrates, I want to read it again, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been, jump into verse 9 if you're following in the Bible. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? God's wrath. What's God's wrath? His judgment. His just judgment. But we're saved from that. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Okay? We have reconciliation. This community, we have reconciliation. The Bible says that by the love we have one for another, the world will know that we are Christians. How does the Bible therefore teach us to work out that love? And as I was praying into this today, I was taken back to some of the one another scriptures that I've kept throwing in now and again. And God said, no, highlight some completely and utterly this morning. Because this is what reconciliation really is. If we're not people seeking restoration and reconciliation, we're not really the people of Jesus. We're not living as he's asked us to live and called us to live. We're not living that counterculture to the world. We need to be the people who say sorry. Yeah. And not sorry because we're guilty. Sorry because we're seeking restoration and reconciliation, whether we think we're the guilty partner or not. There is still a problem that has been caused. Oh, it can be so hard, can't it? Does anybody ever really love to say sorry? If you are, you're a very holy person. There's always a sense of, I don't really want to do this. Just like those children in the classroom that don't want to say sorry, that they said the nasty words or they stole the rubber or whatever it was that they did. They don't want to say sorry. It's their fault because they got a nicer rubber. They shouldn't come to school with it. I haven't got one like that. here's some of those verses then. That's just the short versions. Accept one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, build one another up, do not slander one another. That last one, you come across that and you think, what? But it's so easy to talk about other people and exaggerate just a little bit because it makes the story a little bit better. That's called gossip, but that's what it is, slander. Let's have a look at the four verses. I'm not going to spend long on them. I just want you to hear them, receive them, maybe think about them afterwards. Because I think God is calling us to be shameless and audacious, not just in prayer, though certainly in prayer, but in all things. Amen. Can we truly be outrageous, audacious in the one another's? Not copying Boris Johnson and President Trump, but looking to Jesus and his example. And to the many men and women of God that there have been that have tried to live these things. Accept one another then. I love that. Accept them. You may not agree with them. You may not like what they've done. But primarily the word says accept them. It doesn't say accept all the things that you know are not of God. It just says accept them. They're human beings. They are people that Jesus died for. And like the soldiers who died for people that they didn't agree with, didn't even like, and maybe fundamentally would never have been unified with, we are called to accept the same group. That is audacious. Not just the people we like. Not just the people we agree with. The modern world, through social media, has lost the ability to debate and to walk with somebody that you don't agree with, but you want to talk to one another and learn from one another. If you look on social media, it's all about you've got to make the other person look like an idiot. It's in politics now, it's in everything that happens. It's not that it's never been there, but it seems to have become the way to talk and debate. You can't have a discussion about something. If you believe that, that's different to me, I've got to make you look stupid. Believing in God is like believing in fairies at the bottom of the garden or the flying spaghetti monster, to quote various atheists. It's that way of debating that you make your opponents look stupid so that your arguments look intelligent. It's a very sad way that the world has gone. Not everybody does it. There are very intelligent atheists that never are derogatory. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. You see, that's the key, isn't it? We're not doing anything that hasn't already happened to us. The problem is, we tend to think usually that we're a little bit better than most other people. No, I never think this. Of course we all think that. We think we're better than others, so that... Well, anyway, in order to bring praise to God. If you accept people, you'll bring praise to God. Reconciliation is our ministry, not separation, not cutting off. That's the world's way. We're not the two children that refuse to talk to one another in the playground. They're not the two children that then form groups of people around them in the playground and may never the twain mix. We're the opposite. We're the one that goes in and tries to bring them all together. Whatever's right and whatever's wrong, we're going to try and find God's way forward. Because in every dispute, in everything, there will be right and wrong here and right and wrong here. And sometimes this group can be really, really wrong and this group can be really, really right, but they still need to come together to find God's way forward. Not a compromise, his way forward. Yeah. Or we can be kids in the playground in our little separate gangs. I was in a gang in infant school. I was the leader of the gang. Can you imagine it? Wimpy me. But I was. I was the leader of the gang. Mark DeGuero was my right-hand man. Well, he was five, but he was my right-hand man. And we used to fight in the bushes with the other gangs because the teachers, I don't know what they did, they just turned a blind eye to what went on in the bushes. So that's where we went and had the fights. And you'd organise them. I don't even know why we were separated or what the disagreements were, but we fought because we were different. I was castigated because another guy in my gang, Mark was as well, another guy called Lee Dworkin. I don't know where all these names have suddenly come from. I thought I'd forgotten these years ago. They were both Jewish. Bad move. You don't associate with the Jews. I'm not Jewish, you may have noticed. But my name could certainly be mistaken for being Jewish. So suddenly, you know, that was another reason to get at us. But I remember being thoroughly racist about an African girl. Because schools didn't teach that then. The things we said to her were horrendous. The things people said to us were horrendous. There was a horrendous group thing going on of people just being rude and racist and uncomfortable with one another. And we were five. But those people are now running countries and they haven't changed. We have to be this counterculture of reconciliation. We cannot live as the world lives, or we are not the people of Jesus. I've only done the first one. I can't do them all. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. I love that. This is so real. Let's be rude about Den, because I always pick on Adrian. She's so lovely. That's not rude. You know, but imagine that she's been really irritating. You know. Because so often she's really, really right and I'm really, really wrong. And that basically is really, really irritating.
I'm always right.
See what I mean? See what I mean? This is why the word says bear with one another. Because the world will fall out with one another. We bear with one another even when we disagree and dislike. I don't dislike Den. I love it a bit. Thank you. I mean, that's a silly thing, because there might be things that people are doing that you find offensive, and yet still Jesus says bear with one another. Seek restoration. Seek reconciliation. When we had Brian out on the front imagining a horrendous scenario of him caught in adultery, we could see that the only way forward for him was to seek reconciliation and restoration. That is the only way forward. That is the message of Jesus Christ. That is glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is reconciliation between people and God and people and people. Amen. Forgive one another. Not just forgive people who deserve it, it's just forgive one another. In fact, true forgiveness and true growth is when you forgive the people who really don't deserve it, because you're learning to be like Jesus. We didn't deserve forgiveness in the first place. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It doesn't say you won't get grievances anymore because you're super holy. It says when you have a grievance, forgive. You don't have to go up to them and say, you've really upset me. We need to sort this out. I could just forgive her. That was a bit frightening, didn't it? You looked a bit worried then. Bit of the headmaster coming out again then. We can't just forgive. Now, there are times where things have to be sorted out, particularly if the grievance is ongoing. But you know, a lot of the time they don't have to be. We can just forgive. Forgiveness does not say what they did was okay. Forgiveness never says what they did was all right, because God doesn't forgive us and say, it doesn't matter about your sin, it was okay, didn't mind it really. Jesus died for that. Forgiveness never says that. Forgiveness costs Jesus his life. Forgiveness will cost us. It costs us our personal comfort. It can cost us because what was done to us was very, very, very wrong. There will be people in this room who have been abused, raped, treated really badly, and when then someone says you've got to forgive them, it's like having a knife stuck in you. I'm not saying you've got to forgive them. I'm just saying Jesus offers a way for forgiveness for you. But in no way does it say that that abuser was correct. It just says leave the judgment to God. That's his business, not our business. We like to do God's job for him sometimes, because we can see that people are wrong, so we judge them. But that's God's job. He's the judge. Encourage one another. Hey, a positive one. Build one another up. That's why you have community. We have to build one another up. Let's put positive things in one another's. And then James 4:11. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them. You see, we feel so entitled to judge sometimes because what we are saying is correct. But we're not God. Nor do we really understand. That's why I was wary earlier of talking about Boris Johnson and the situation he's been caught in, because I don't really know. It's not really for me to say he's utterly wrong. It looks like a very bad example. Do not slander one another. Do not speak things about other people that you don't know whether they're true or whether they're rumours, or even if you know they're true. If they're negative, there's no need to speak them. What good will it do? I'm not talking about people who are abusing positions or being abusive to other people and situations that do need an exposure to keep people safe. I'm not talking about keeping things quiet in that way. God forbid that we would do that. This is about the personal relationships, really. But even in doing those things, we will be confidential. Here's another list. What do you reckon on this list? Don't grumble against one another. I am so fed up with Frida. Love one another. I'm glad that one's there. Offer hospitality to one another. You see, some of us are really, really good at that. So we judge the ones who are bad at grumbling. Or some of us are really, really bad, maybe, at hospitality. So we don't seek to correct ourselves in that one. We look for the sins of others. Humility towards one another. Love one another. There it is again. Do not slander one another. Some of that list is the same. Here's my full list that I wrote out in my notes here that isn't up there completely. The first one is, don't grumble against one another, brothers or sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Ouch! Should I read that one again? That's that grumble one. This is not nice. This is, oh, Jesus. This is why the Holy Spirit took us to that place of grace earlier, or you'd feel really awful by now. But you sorted it all then. If you didn't, sort it quick. Don't grumble against one another. Don't grumble against one another. Don't grumble against one another. That's what the world does, and we're different. Sometimes we just want to. It's not godly. It's not Jesus. And it won't bring us any joy or peace anyway. It's false happiness held out by the enemy to detract us and take us away. Grumbling is the sweets that the stranger offers the child to take them away. They offer them sweets because it's something nice. The child likes the sweets. The child is taken away. And the situation turns horrible. The enemy does the same with us. He offers us little tidbits of tastiness. Grumbling can be lovely sometimes. But it's where it goes. It's a dark passage. And not judging people right now who have been grumbling, that would be pointless. I would be falling into the same trap. I'm just sharing what I believe is on God's heart. I don't judge you if you're doing all of these. I do all of these to some extent. I'm always wanting to hold myself accountable before God. Don't make the mistake right now, if you feel about one of these things you feel really bad, of blaming me for telling you it. Because I'm not really telling you it. I'm speaking to a whole group of people. That's the Holy Spirit, actually, highlighting it for you so that you can come into His freedom. I don't want to convict you of anything. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I hate doing talks like this. Because I'm always wanting everybody to be sorted. And I feel like I'm doing the opposite. But actually, this is how we get sorted. I don't like challenging people. I hate it. But I do love people, so I do it. If you know me well and I mentor you, you'll know that's true. Sometimes I put my finger on some very uncomfortable things, not in the form of judgment, because there is no judgment. I'm not judging you. I want you to live in freedom. And if you don't change, I'm not going to change in my relationship with you. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Another grumbling one. So a little, I like that little practical bit at the end. It's almost like this is Peter writing. He's written offer hospitality to one another. Oh, they're pretty good at that. Without grumbling. Love one another deeply from the heart. These are all Peter. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. You say, why am I not seeing the favour of God in my life? Well, are you showing the favour of God to others? Are you, as it says in another place, considering others better than yourselves? Or are you thinking that's just for the super holy people? Considering others better than yourselves means you recognise that they are a child of God as much as you are. And John 3:11 just simply says, we should love one another. I wrote that one down because of the should. So again, John just being a little bit realistic. Look, guys, I know. Some people you're struggling with, but we should love one another. I want two that I got. I had at the end, these two, in this ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And then the other one is Romans 14, 13. Stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. This is a real caring for one another. This is truly reconciliation. We're not kids in the playground. The problem is adults do the same. And the problem with adults is they often take a lot longer to forgive than children do. If you upset an adult, they can bear a grudge for years or even until their deathbed. Let's not be a people of grudges, but a people of love. The problem is, you see, when we judge people, we put ourselves in the place of Jesus. We might feel that what we're judging is correct and true, but it's not our place. Judging comes with punishment, you see. Judging comes with an attitude. If you're friends together, sharing with one another, pointing out to somebody something that's not helpful in their lives, that's not judgment if you're doing it with an attitude of I love you and I'm not rejecting you. Judgment says you need to be punished for that. You need to be sorted for that. Something needs to happen to you. I'm not talking to you until that's sorted. That's judgment. People get confused because there's still correction, there's still discipline, there's still mentoring, there's still discipling. But it's the attitude behind it that means it's either to build someone up and encourage them or to judge them. And ultimately, often, we're the ones that know. I mean, people can feel judged and you're not wanting them to feel judged. That's also true. So we have, this is like the first slide, but instead of saying remembrance, it says reconciliation instead. I wonder if we had a reconciliation day every year, whether that would change our attitude to what happens at remembrance. It's the opposite of war and discord. It's actually what peace truly is. It's actually who Jesus truly is. Amen. Well, you've been absolutely awesome to listen to. It seems the last three messages I've given are all the kind of messages that you don't ever want to give, and yet I honestly believe they're exactly, apart from the little fritty bits that I put in that I probably shouldn't have done, they are exactly what God wants us to hear. Not to make us feel bad, absolutely not. If you're feeling bad right now, please, just put that in the dustbin. I don't want you to feel bad. God doesn't want you to feel bad. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to feel bad. Jesus doesn't want you to feel bad. He wants you to live in freedom.
Hallelujah.
And if you're grumbling and complaining and you're not going to change anything right now, we still love you, because we will bear with you. We might step in if you're hurting others, or will step in if you're hurting others, but we'll still love you. And we will always seek reconciliation. Not to prove that one's right and one's wrong, because that's judgment. It's about reconciliation and what's God's plan then to move on? How do we live in that? How can we get there? If it's a big problem, it's how can we get there? What can we start to do that can walk that way? You can't always just go, that's it, sorted. Sometimes there is a journey towards a point of reconciliation to go forward again together. But that's always the goal, because that is peace, Irene, and peace is Jesus. And our goal is always Jesus. It's him we look to. Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy your coffee. Enjoy your tea. Have a great day. And if there's anything about what I've said that has troubled you, make sure you talk to somebody you can trust and talk it through. I've said a few things that could be triggers for people today. Don't go home miserable. Find a friend. Find a leader. Talk to somebody about it. Don't go home feeling down. No one should go home feeling down. No one has been judged. This is to encourage us all. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.